We read the gospel lesson again for this morning, Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Do not be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So, departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be accepted in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the risen. If you and I had been there on the shore of the Red Sea with the Israelites, how would we have responded? Would we have been any different? They were scared to death, literally. And even though they had seen with their own eyes the trustworthiness and the power of God's word, the fulfillment and power of those 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, this situation was different. With the 10 plagues, it was not so much the lives and the well-being of the Israelites that was at stake, but it was the lives and the livelihood of the Egyptians. Nevertheless, at this time, the Jews' fear was so great that they wanted to go back to Egypt rather than believe that God would deliver them from what was a certain death. It can be a different story when one's own life is at stake, where death is right there in front of us. So what about us? Are there dangers before us, real and terrible things that threaten our very lives? Like the Israelites, to drive us to fear and to despair and unbelief and to turn us away from the Lord. What are the dangers before us? Well, take your pick. There is the reality of your sin. You also know someday you will die, maybe sooner than later. There is the reality of Satan and his demons who are always seeking someone to devour. There is the reality of the world and all that it throws at us, especially this last year. Riots, unrest, isolation, sickness, pandemic, government struggles, political chaos. Not to mention the very intense afflictions you personally have had to deal with that very few, if any, know about. Fear has taken hold in so many places, in so many ways, and of so many people. Even preventing Christians from doing what they could do and should do. Hindering us from thinking and feeling and believing as we should. But this should not surprise us. Like for the Israelites back in Exodus 14, there will always be dangers in front of us, tempting us not only to fear, but to go back, to turn elsewhere, to return to what might be familiar to us but is not good, or to go to a place that we think might be better for us but is not, and thus to doubt the trustworthiness and the power of God's word and promises. And this is true especially if all we can see in front of us is suffering and death, and then we forget about God's saving word. The Israelites in Exodus 14 soon would see the Lord's deliverance. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you must be quiet." Then the angel of God, who was going in front of the Israelite forces, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and Israelite forces. There was cloud and darkness. It lit up the night, and neither group came near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind all that night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with the waters like a wall to them on their right and on their left. The Israelites had walked through the sea on dry ground, with the waters like a wall to them on their right and their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the power of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. The reason this text is before us today on this early Easter morning is because there's a parallel, or there's a connection to actually two events in the New Testament, but we're only going to focus on one. The one we're not going to focus on this morning is the connection to our baptism. You know, that's there in Romans 6 in our epistle lesson today, but today we just want to make sure we understand the connection between this event in the Old Testament and that other event of today, Easter, the resurrection of Christ. You have not seen Jesus resurrected. Your eyes have not yet seen the one who was crucified and is now risen with his flesh and blood. But what if there were others who had seen him alive? What would they be sure to do if that were the case? Well, think about the Israelites. The Israelites who had seen and experienced firsthand deliverance through the Dead Sea, and also realized that they would have had children and grandchildren, not yet born when they went through the Red Sea, but afterwards.
Would they simply have said to their children and grandchildren, "It happened"? Would they not also have said, "It happened, we were there, we saw, we experienced, it was very real"? And then described it in detail. You have not seen the resurrected Christ, but there were others who did, hundreds of them. And they staked their lives on what they saw and heard and touched. Their testimonies are recorded for us. These women, for example, in Matthew chapter 28, came to the empty tomb and got the shock of their lives. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Do not be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said." But these women were not just told he has risen, but they were also told, "Come and see the place where he lay." And then we're told, "Go quickly and tell his disciples." Tell them what? But then it gets better. Jesus met them. They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers." Tell them what? "We have seen the Lord. We heard him. We touched him." Now, what is so interesting and of great importance to us is that both the angel and Jesus start out with the words, "Do not be afraid." The same words that Moses spoke to the Israelites because of a saving historical event in time and space they would see. An event that really took place back there at the Red Sea. The real resurrection of Christ, recorded for us in the pages of Holy Scripture. And what that real resurrection said to the women back then and to us today is, "Do not be afraid." Like the miraculous parting of the Red Sea that saved, the miraculous resurrection of the Son of God from the dead also saves, but even more so. The resurrection says the life and crucifixion of Christ worked. The resurrection says mission accomplished. The resurrection says you are saved from your sins. The resurrection says you are saved from your death, whether it be mild or horrible. The resurrection says you are saved from the devil. The resurrection says you are saved from the world and all that it throws at you, no matter how ugly it may get. The resurrection of Christ says, "Do not be afraid."
Life can be one fear after another. If it is not this, it is that. Some of you have had more things to fear this last year than others. Some of you have had more intense things to fear than others. Some of you have greater faith than others when facing fears, including a greater faith in mine. We thank you for your example. But we do have to admit this last year has not been easy on any of us. It seems like fear of tomorrow has often been a constant companion. But all our fears have been conquered and quieted by the resurrection of Christ. Him being raised after dying for the sins of the world says, do not be afraid. Stand firm. Be quieted. The Lord has fought for you, and he has won. Your sin is gone. The devil has no power over you. The world cannot rob you of your eternal life, even when you wonder if this or that threat or danger will do you in tomorrow. But also do not forget this. The reality and the benefit of his resurrection comes to us in word and sacrament. So not only do we hear, do not be afraid, but also do not be afraid of his word and sacrament. For when we hear his word and receive the sacrament, we are receiving all the benefits of his resurrection. A resurrection that has conquered all our fears. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.